Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers for Tuesday. Brian Kamenetsky and Andy Kamenetsky. Anthony Davis is out for at least a month, Andy, and that's got people thinking, or at least us thinking, about his future in LA and whether or not he really is the guy that the Lakers need to take over once LeBron hangs it up. Plus, it's Fizdale watch time. Get all to all of that and more on Tuesday's episode of Locked On Lakers.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Want to thank everyone for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day, Monday through Friday. We get it up bright and early for you, so no matter where you are, when you listen to your first podcast of the day, we appreciate you making us your first listen. And make another Locked On podcast your second listen of every day. Get ready for the game coming up against the Suns by listening to Locked On Suns with Brendan Kleen, a great podcast there. Want to let you know that Tuesday's episode of Locked On Lakers is brought to you by Truebill. Truebill is the new app that saves you money by helping you identify and stop paying for the subscriptions that you don't want or need, and can even negotiate better deals on those you want to keep. So Andy, lots to cover today. We're going to talk about David Fizdale and his terrible rotation ideas. Just what is garbage? What is he doing? No, but in all seriousness, people are going to be paying very close attention to what the team looks like with David Fizdale on the sidelines, even as the team might be a little bit weird. And we will try to get, we didn't get to it, but the Christmas Day game is looking very, very strange right now. So we'll try to talk about that. But I still think we're here on AD as much as anything. Like, that is the topic. And with him gone for a month, there's more like, what are the Lakers going to do? How are they going to play? And all of that stuff. But fundamentally, before we get into even to any of that, Andy, to me, I just started thinking about, like, is this going to be the future for the Lakers? Like, do you feel as confident in Anthony Davis as the guy who is going to take the proverbial torch from LeBron when he's diminishing or done or whatever it is?
I mean, this has always been the question with Anthony Davis. This was the thing that would have given you caution on any level if you were going to end up trading for him. And obviously, the trade has in and of itself been justified. You know, whenever you win a championship,
yes,
you can't say that that trade has gone sideways. And the type of move that the Lakers made, which was on many levels franchise changing, to bring in Davis, you make that trade 10 out of 10 times again, because getting titles, I know sometimes this is difficult for Laker fans with all the winning that they've experienced to really understand this. Getting championships is really effing hard. It's extremely difficult to do. Yes. So whenever you make it happen, there are no apologies or caveats attached in terms of that decision. But that's only one piece of this equation with the Lakers. Anthony Davis was slated, like you said, to be the franchise face moving forward and to be the guy for this team that you eventually surround with, you know, other players who serve as the AD to LeBron right now. Mm-hmm. And seeing Anthony Davis, that injury history that he's had, continue with the Lakers, and, you know, other than the year they won the championship, there seemingly is no respite from it. It does start making you wonder about whether or not they are situating themselves for a future that's going to be sustainable.
Well, and like, you go back to the optimism that you felt about AD after they won the title, because you're right. There were, you know, he never really carried New Orleans. If he's that good, shouldn't the Pelicans have been better, you know, than they were? And like, you know, why wasn't Anthony Davis carrying them farther and all that kind of stuff? And I don't know if all those questions were fair, but they certainly followed him to Los Angeles. And he had a ton to prove, Andy, when he got here and through the bubble and into the finals and the way he played. And he, at least at the time, it seemed like he put some of those doubts to rest and gave Lakers fans confidence and all of those things. And last year, I think it was such a weird one where short off season, he was much more banged up coming out of the bubble and out of that playoff run than I think anyone really gave him credit for. And we, you and me both, absolutely, and have admitted it a bunch of times, like we underestimated how difficult it would be for AD to come. We spent all of our time thinking about LeBron in the short off season. I expected AD to come out and just dominate people, like carry that momentum. I was wrong, and it was unfair. And then he got hurt, and then he got hurt again. That's all this. So I was willing to write off last year, but this year there's been a lot of red flags. I mean, a lot of them. And I am not at nearly as confident. Not that he's not a great player, but that he's that number one guy that when you say, can you win with blank as your best player, where you don't even think that much about who the number two is, you just go, oh yeah, Giannis. Oh yeah, you can win. You know, I would say LeBron. Oh yeah, you can win. Like
Steph.
You can win.
Durant.
You can win. When you get to that next tier, though.
And to be clear, by the way, just before, because this is worth saying, there are only a handful of those guys who exist in the first place. We've named a bunch of them. I think we add Kawhi Leonard to that list.
Yeah.
If he's healthy. I think there is confidence that it could be Jokic. There is confidence that it could be Embiid, even though those guys have not proven it yet. You've seen enough of what they could do, although I guess in the case of Embiid, the same injury history.
And all these guys. Yeah, I mean, and,
right.
And so does Kawhi, obviously.
But I think, sure. I think Nikola Jokic has shown that he is good enough with a full slate of players. He's at least going to keep you in that mix.
I don't know what the hell else he's supposed to do.
Right, exactly. That way.
I mean, you know, the numbers he's put up in the last couple of years, and now, you know, putting up the numbers he's putting up this year with a lesser group around him, and actually much, much improved defensively. Not a game changer. He's not Bill Russell back there, but he's much better than he used to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that distinction you're making is really important because, like, Damian Lillard is awesome. But he's not someone that you automatically say, oh, yeah, sure. Like Paul George, awesome. Oh, yeah, sure. You win with him as your best player. He has actually demonstrated that you probably can't. And so as you start to move down that list, it's not that you can't win with those guys. It's just that you need a lot more from the second guy, a lot more from the third guy, whatever it is. And to have... the assumption was that Davis was ascending to that place where he was going to be in that handful of, oh yeah, absolutely. Regardless of what you put around him, if you have that guy, you have a chance to win. And he has backslid from that more into that group of Damian Lillard, Paul George, you know, and down the line of excellent players, elite players, but not, oh yeah. You know, and that's a big difference for the Lakers. It's a huge difference for the Lakers.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that this has been something that is, if nothing else, being talked about on basketball Twitter because Stan Van Gundy ended up weighing in and tweeted out, Anthony Davis has missed 49 games for the Lakers over the past three seasons. Jimmy Butler has missed 48 games for the Heat in the same time frame. And I'm not exactly sure what point Stan Van Gundy was trying to make, but whatever one it was, I don't think it works on a lot of levels. Like
hold on to that, unless, because I agree with you, and there's a lot I think to unpack in that tweet, but let's do it next.
Locked On Lakers brought to you by Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's because it's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or just forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Companies make subscriptions really complicated, difficult to cancel. Truebill, though, makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. Truebill has over 2 million users and has helped them save over $100 million collectively. So don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA.
Locked On Lakers also brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered all season long with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. As the NFL season continues to march towards the playoffs, Bet Online remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head over to the new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code Locked On to receive your bonus. So from basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right down to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 and almost the 2022 season, Andy. We are not far away. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports favorites. BetOnline, where the game starts. So let's put that Stan Van Gundy tweet back up here.
It said Anthony Davis has missed 49 games for the Lakers over the past three seasons. Jimmy Butler has missed 48 games for the Heat in the same time frame. And like I said, I'm not exactly sure, Brian, the point that Stan Van Gundy was trying to make.
Can I take a stab that sure. Davis gets picked on for missing more games and there's another star out there who's missing just as many, I guess? I think that's what he's saying.
Maybe, I guess. But I mean, here's the thing, though. I think that this is a false comparison on a lot of levels and also speaks to the importance of specific context mm-hmm. with your team. Because if Jimmy Butler misses a lot of games for the Heat, that is a problem. It is also Miami's problem. It is not the Lakers' problem. And there is no solace that Laker fans are going to take knowing that Anthony Davis misses a lot of games. But hey, you know what? On the other side of the country, they're dealing with some problems too, man.
Kawhi Leonard's missed an entire season.
Yeah. I mean,
what does that do for me?
Yeah, exactly. Like, this doesn't do anything for Laker fans or the Laker franchise with their situation. If his point is that nobody pays attention to Jimmy Butler having missed games, that's ridiculous, because that is something that has been talked about with Jimmy Butler his entire career. Because that period where he was getting traded around a lot and wanted to be traded to different organizations and was trying to force their hand, there was always that question of, okay, how much are you going to give up for Jimmy Butler given the mileage from Tibbs, given the injury history?
Like, tire tread was a major concern for anybody acquiring Jimmy Butler.
This has always been a discussion point with Jimmy Butler. And if he was trying to make the point, Stan Van Gundy, that Jimmy Butler is somehow considered more tough than Anthony Davis because, you know, Butler has that hard-nosed reputation and Anthony Davis doesn't, but both of them miss games. Again, false comp, because Jimmy Butler's toughness has always been about what he does on the court and the way that he plays and with that physicality and the way he's so relentless and, for lack of better cliches, the dog that you see in Jimmy Butler. Nobody's ever talked about Jimmy Butler like he's AC Green or Kobe pre-Achilles, you know, the guy who plays through everything. Because, again, it's been well established.
No, they're talking about him as a guy who gets hurt a lot, plays 66, 67, 50-something games a year, every year.
And also, this is really important to remember, too. With all due respect to Jimmy Butler, who is a great player, he is an all-NBA caliber player at his best. He is a defensive player of the year caliber at his best. Like we talked about before, there's a difference between the guys truly at the top and that next level of incredible players, and in turn, what you will give up for those guys, depending on that perception.
Is Jimmy Butler a player that you can win a championship with if he is unquestionably your best player?
Maybe. I don't know. The Heat game.
Maybe.
Sure. But here's what's really important. Because of the perceptions, accurate or not, between Jimmy Butler and Anthony Davis, who has been, I think, in NBA fan circles, NBA media circles, maybe in NBA player circles, elevated to a place that Jimmy Butler's never been at. Anthony Davis is part of that top 75, all sorts of stuff. Nobody has ever traded and reconfigured an entire roster, including its picks, to acquire Jimmy Butler. The Lakers did that with Anthony Davis, and not even just the stuff that they directly traded to get him or the guys that they moved for salary cap implications, the Isak Bongas of the world. I'm talking about the preemptive trade of Larry Nance Jr., Jordan Clarkson, renouncing Julius Randle's rights. Like, these were all things that you did to get Anthony Davis in your building. And like I said in the beginning, Brian, I'm not criticizing those moves. They won a championship. So that justifies it. But it speaks to where you are as a franchise and what is expected from the guy that you did all that for. And for all the talk about like accommodating LeBron 24/7, which they've done a lot of, you know, you could argue that bringing in KCP for the Mana from Heaven deal was accommodating LeBron. The biggest amount of direct asset surrender has been linked to Anthony Davis. And he's the guy expected to take the baton. He's the younger guy. Doesn't mean he's still not a great player. He is. But these are the questions that come up with Anthony Davis and not Jimmy Butler.
Well, it's also, I am not 100% not one of these people who questions Anthony Davis's broadly his toughness. I'm sure Anthony Davis plays through all kinds of stuff that would keep most of us bedridden. I believe all of the stuff he says about him wanting to, that he holds himself to an incredibly high standard, that he wants to be, all of these things. I do not think he is a, misogynistic, throw out whatever misogynistic terms you want to use here. Sure. I don't. Jimmy Butler has sort of earned the reputation that he has, and AD gets dinged for always being kind of nicked up. I think AD is made out of physical, made out of like genetic material that just doesn't hold up really. And you see this, it's very common with guys as large as he is who do things that are as athletic. It's hard to keep all the parts from breaking. Like, it's just not easy to do. And he falls down all the time and all this. It is, there's a reason.
Like it looks less, I guess, respectable when he falls down versus just a wing falling down. Like, when he falls down, he looks like one of those windsock dudes in front of a used car.
Yes, it's like when Boban falls down. Yeah. It's like, timber! You know, it makes a difference when you're 7 feet off the ground and you're heading to the... There is a reason that when we went through this list, and people are either going to think somehow we're being too easy on him or that we're being too hard on him. I'm not sure.
Which means, Brian, we're doing our job perfectly.
We're doing our job. Mm-hmm. There is a reason that
nobody likes us, it must mean we're great.
I agree. Indifference is actually the enemy of hate and of love. It is not, those two are not the opposite of each other. I don't care about what you're saying is the worst thing. There's a reason there's only four or five of those guys, or six of those guys, seven max. And there's a reason that they get hurt a lot. There's a reason that Kawhi Leonard eventually tears an ACL, like, or whatever it is. It's because being that guy is incredibly strenuous. You know, Kevin Durant has an Achilles tear in his history. Not being able to be one of those guys is not an insult, but it does impact the Lakers going forward, because like you said, the plan was for him to be that guy. And if he's not, doesn't mean he's not good. Doesn't mean that the Lakers are screwed when LeBron leaves and Westbrook goes and whatever and all that stuff. It does mean that the caliber of players that they need to put around Davis rises. And when you have, there aren't that many of these guys that come on the market. No. The Lakers may not have, they'll have cap space, to Rob Pelinka's credit. When LeBron's contract is done and Westbrook contract is done and all these things we talked about, is we will criticize Rob for some things. He's got a clean cap sheet to go find another superstar to put around AD, build that roster back out again. But other parts of it, draft picks, isn't that, are limited. It makes a difference. It's a big deal if LeBron, in the same way that it's a big difference, it'd be a big deal. Like, you made a great point a couple weeks ago that LeBron descending, I guess, from the fifth best player, fourth best player to the
ninth,
12th best player, 10th, whatever, isn't a big deal if it happens over four seasons. It is a big deal if it happens this season.
Right.
It's also a big deal if AD ascending to this third, fourth, fifth best net, that top tier of guy, you maybe could get away with it. You hope, maybe, probably not this season, but you damn well may be in trouble if in 2 or 3 years he's not there.
Yeah, the last point I would make on this is just if AD's, you know, injury history becomes his injury future, and this is something the Lakers have to account for, it doesn't mean, as we've said many times, that he's not still a great player, because he is. He's fantastic. And he's still somebody that can be a critical part of winning a championship. It does mean, though, you have to find somebody better than him, but also somebody who you can rely on to be better and on the court. So again, you've got a small pool of people to choose from.
Oh God, this stuff is so fascinating. And so you just makes me think, like, for all of it, there's a lot of criticism in here and a lot of this, and you, there's guys are paid, you know, millions of dollars. Like, all of that is true, but it should all come with the caveats and like the understanding and all the, what we're asking of people to, you know, to be not just like, you know, they're already the top, you know, Anthony Davis already in the top, you know, 2% of the top 0.00000% on earth. Like, we're asking you to be in the top 1%. Like, it's like, that's it is, this is hard business that we are asking a guy to do, and when we already acknowledge he's a Hall of Famer.
While we sit on our asses doing a podcast.
Doing goddamn nothing. That's yep. Exactly right.
Yep.
Like, who are you? Like, yep. You are correct. You know, Kevin Durant on Twitter. Who am I to be flapping my gums? Like, you and I can't, we couldn't lead, we would get annihilated by a competent team of 13-year-old basketball players.
Yeah, but you know what?
Annihilated.
That's why we only make half of what Anthony Davis makes. That's right. That's why.
Because we're only half as good at what
yeah,
we
exactly.
do.
That's exactly. That's why we only make 20 mil a piece each year.
All right, let's overreact to David Fizdale. We'll do that next.
Locked On Lakers, brought to you by Boost Mobile. You listen to podcasts for the power of knowledge. You switch to Boost Mobile for the power of saving money. Because with Boost, you get the power of a free 5G phone, so you can listen to all the latest episodes. The power of 3 unlimited data lines for $300 per month, so your family can boost all that brain power too. And the power of one of America's largest 5G networks, so you can do it all with the speed of 5G. With all that money you'll save, all that knowledge you'll gain, just think how powerful you'll become. Switch to Boost Mobile. You can find out. Get a free Samsung Galaxy A32 5G when you switch to one of America's largest 5G networks. More power to save. Boost Mobile. Just remember, free phone limited to new customers and one per line. Additional restrictions apply. Offers and coverage is not available everywhere for all phones or networks. See boostmobile.com for details.
So I made it. I made a tweet, Andy. Like 96-year-old. I made a tweet. I put out a tweet.
Tell me more, Mom.
I put out a tweet on the Twitter. Mm-hmm. During the first 2.5 minutes of the game against Chicago, that just said, "Oh man, Fizdale's rotations are stupid." Like, mm-hmm. He hadn't even made a substitution yet, and he's playing with a lineup missing 5 guys and including a dude that they just signed off the street like 3 hours ago. My point being, like, just kind of trolling the reflex to just bag on everything your head coach does. The flip side of that is I got a ton of instant response from people who took it way too seriously, whether agreeing with me about Fizdale's stupid rotations, which we hadn't even seen yet to that point because they hadn't rotated anyone, or using it as evidence that Vogel sucks and should go. And I don't know how long Frank is going to be out, and I don't know how, you know, if he's asymptomatic, symptomatic.
As of this recording, I believe he's actually still stuck in Chicago.
Yeah, Michael Thompson, part of the Lakers broadcast team, they won't let him leave Minnesota.
Yeah, Michael knows people there at least. Yeah. I mean, this stuff is all going to be incredibly fluid and complicated. I want to give a preemptive disclaimer. During this period of spikes and positive tests, negative tests, guys going in and out of the protocols, there's going to be times where certain information will be dated that we present. It's impossible. So just
we released the thing on Monday. You know, Tuesday's podcast is released at 12 a.m.
right
on Tuesday morning. So obviously we recorded on Monday our information as Monday is that Frank Vogel is still in the protocols, and
we are doing
most
our
of the
best.
People right, this and most really of the hard. People, most of the people that across the NBA, and this is actually a larger conversation. We won't get time to it today, but will, you know, over the course of the week, certainly heading into the Christmas game, because it's highly relevant. The vast majority of the players who are and coaching staff, and this is a good thing, that are entering the protocols are asymptomatic or have mild symptoms. And so presumably and hopefully Frank Vogel is among that group. But we still don't know how long he's going to be away from the team. And in that time, people are going to be either because they dislike Frank Vogel or are defensive of Frank Vogel, overanalyzing everything that happens in the David Fizdale administration.
Well, it's funny. I tweeted out during the game at Cam Brothers that this, I thought that game against the Bulls was the best that we had seen LeBron and Westbrook specifically playing off ball with each other, where one of them was the ball handler, the other one was cutting, and they were setting each other up that way and just remembering to keep going off ball and creating opportunities for each other that way, which is something you and I talked about a lot heading into this season. Like, you know, Russell Westbrook's off-ball utility does not have to be defined strictly by what can he do as an outside shooter. There's correct. A lot more he could be doing. And there were some people who responded to that tweet like, well, yeah, finally Fizdale got them to do this. And it's like, do I know for sure that David Fizdale doesn't have some ability to really speak to LeBron and Westbrook and get them, you know, buying into certain things, or that he was running? So I don't know. I am 100% sure that this is something Frank Vogel has asked for. That I know for sure.
Well, like, this is not who is the offensive guy on the staff all season long?
I have no
idea. David Fizdale. Like, you know, it's like,
I mean, it really is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. David Fizdale is, yes.
Okay.
He is more the offensive mind.
Okay.
You know, and Vogel, I mean, is he the offensive coordinator? I don't know.
Well, my larger point is it's always been sort of a question, like, whose offense?
No, I understand that. But, like, you know, it's also, but like, it's also not the first time those guys have done that sort of thing. It's also a necessity,
but
being
I thought the it was
mother
the best.
Of invention.
But I thought it was the best, though, that they had done. And my point in bringing this up is just, people are going to be reading into everything during this period where Fizdale is the interim head coach, because he is also seen widely as the guy that would replace Frank Vogel, who yes. is widely seen as the guy coaching for his job right now.
Well, it's funny, like, and this is related when I think I mentioned this on the radio. I did not mention it on the podcast. Our friend, Michael Ross, who, you know, used to sponsor our old podcast, runs Delicious Pizza, Delicious Vinyl in L.A. You know,
great pizza, by the way.
It's fantastic. So he and I text a lot during games. He's a diehard Laker fan. He gets very passionate about what he's watching. And so in the overtime of the Dallas game, he texts me. He says, why is Russell Westbrook shooting corner threes in overtime after he clanked the one that he missed? You know, a minute and a half later, after Westbrook buries the critical one, he tweets me back or texts me back and says, why isn't Westbrook shooting more corner threes in overtime? And, you know, and he's joking and he gets it, you know, but like the obvious point here being fans are angry at the results. They're mad at this season not going the way that it's supposed to. And by the way, they have every right to be, because this is not good. It is not, and you know, the Suns are Tuesday night, right, Andy?
Yeah,
I've completely lost track today of this, and that is going to be a real difficult game for them to win.
Yes, it is.
Phoenix
Suns
is
are
mostly whole, and the Lakers aren't. And even if they were, they were a 500 team when they had all their players. So,
well, they never had them all, but I understand your point.
You understand what I'm getting at. When they've had the big three, they're still barely over 500. This is just where. This is the mood, you know, like, you know, you find a mood meme on mm-hmm. like there's almost no people are looking to blame some people in this room. And that's why you get this wild reaction. And it's what's going to be an overreaction to everything Fizdale does, good or bad, with what is a, as, as you know, Grandma Sophie might have said, a fakakta lineup that he's got to put out there.
Grandma Sophie, for those of you who don't know who Brian is referencing, our great grandmother,
our great grandma,
for those who, of you not,
who was
familiar,
born in the old country,
yes,
and
she
spoke
was
Yiddish.
Yes, she was. The thing I'm going to be looking for most, Brian, is just, you know, we're always
my wife, who was not born in the old country, loves that word, fakakta. Anyway.
We're always watching LeBron's body language during this game because LeBron, fairly or not, is considered either a coach killer, a coach kingmaker, a coach appointer. He's ultimately the one who you have to tailor that coach towards, and his approval will make or break you. So I'm going to be just watching LeBron. Like, does he dap up or like hug Fizdale after each timeout, like, or after every dead ball? Do you hear him yelling, F yeah, man, that's what I call a set. Way to work that whiteboard, Fizz, man. That is some coaching. I appreciate what you're doing out there, man. Be nice to have that around on a regular
basis. Like
cases.
The Sammy Sosa thing with him every time.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, if you see somebody look to run a certain thing, like, you know, Russ does like a hand signal, whatever, and LeBron's like, no, that is not what Fizz called. You run what David Fizdale, our coach, called Russell Westbrook. Like that,
they win a game. LeBron carries him off the court.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's something I'm going to be watching for, Brian, because I think that could be telling.
That, no, that would be indicative. That would definitely be indicative. I just, it is a very, we are in a very weird time. Mm-hmm. It's a bit of a, it's a time of stasis. We've been kind of in that stasis time for the entire stretch of this season, where it feels like you're just unable to move forward, make any progress, or really learn definitively everything you need to know, although I think we've learned more than we would like.
You know what?
And it's frustrating.
Before
frustrating.
It doesn't get said enough. The entire LeBron era for the Lakers, whether you're talking the best high points or the worst low points, it's all been weird as hell. It's been an incredibly weird era for the Lakers. When you trace everything, including the ramping up to obviously get LeBron,
all
to
weird.
Where we are now,
all
like
weird.
We could do a whole show on this. It's been bizarre,
all weird, mm-hmm. And
even the circumstances under which they won a championship.
Right. The world has been very odd, in that time.
But yeah, it was weird even before that.
That's true. All right, we'll get to the whole COVID thing because it's not even like I. It's just, to me is a fascinating topic, and what sports do, you know, even separate from what does society do. And we'll get to Tuesday's game, you know, maybe the freedom that they have of being a wild underdog will work for them. You never know. We'll get to all that. We've got a lot to cover as we get into the holidays. It's been fun watching LeBron and some of these guys. If they play like they did against Chicago, at least they'll be an entertaining team to watch.
They'll give themselves a chance.
And that's what we hope to see. Got to steal some games here and there to keep this thing going until Davis comes back. So thanks for making Locked On Lakers your first listen of every day. Appreciate you doing that and then making another Locked On podcast. You appreciate you making another Locked On podcast your second listen of every day. And, of course, subscribe to Locked On Lakers on YouTube. We'll see everybody on Wednesday.